Well, we are back, and it is week two. The news has changed every day, and little by little, life has changed. And with that, so are we. We are being changed as well. This week, I was reflecting on the sermon that I gave a few weeks ago on the first Sunday of Lent. It was March 1st, so it was only 22 days ago. And here's what I said. I said, I am sure you can remember a time when you were thirsty for something that you couldn't find, when you entered a time where you had no direction and felt lost, a stretch of time that felt long, that felt dry, difficult, and lacking the juiciness of life. Perhaps it was a period of illness for ourselves or for a family member, a season of grief. Our lives are full of occasions, I reminded you, where we are asked to enter all sorts of deserts, and Lent reminds us that we do so with Jesus by our side. We do so not alone. And then I said this. I went on to say, we live in a culture where we focus so exclusively on the good feelings, on fixing everything, on avoiding any discomfort, that we are almost taught to be repulsed by anything that doesn't make us feel immediately good. Now, 22 days ago, I never imagined the profound ways that life would change in just a couple of weeks. This has become a very real Lent. In monasteries, Lent is a profound time of reflection and self-denial where the rhythms and comforts of life change profoundly for 40 days. And we are, little by little, being asked to live a monastic life, venturing out to only get the things that we need, asked to pause, asked to hit the reset button, asked to primarily just wait. And the thing with Lent is that we usually know, the monks usually know, when Easter comes. It's right there on their calendar. But we are really being asked to live into the full spirit of the story right now because we don't have a calendar date of when any of this ends. We don't know when the world will be healed again. And we don't know when that resurrection will happen. We don't know. So we just wait. We pause. We are thirsting for things. We are thirsting for connection, for normalcy, for church as we once knew it, for our paper losses to disappear from investment portfolios, for the economic strength of our country to come back, for our travel plans to be rescheduled and to be replanned for. We are thirsting for these things, but they are not here yet. So we just wait. Ephesians implores us to live as children of the light. The light is all that is right and true. It goes on to implore us to not take part in the unfruitful works of darkness. I chose this because it is so easy to live in the darkness these days. If you have 24-hour news on nonstop all day, all the time, and you can't leave your house, you really will be struggling. It is so easy to dwell in the darkness. What the writer is saying is that being a Christian in what was at that time a non-Christian world should cause members of the church to act differently, to tell the truth, to push for justice, to uphold goodness regardless of the norms of society at large. Members of the church are asked to live as those who have already been raised from the dead. See, we know that that's coming, but we don't know when. But we do know that it is coming, and we know that we will be okay. And we know that we don't need to hoard things because the resurrection is coming. We don't need to panic, because we know that we will be okay. We don't need to saturate ourselves with so much news and data that we overload, because the resurrection will come. This we know because we walk in the light and not the darkness. And during these times, that's a choice that we have to consciously make every single day. Last week, we took a look at Henri Matisse, who after surgery was confined to a wheelchair into his home, a time during which he produced most of his profound work. It was suggested to me a few days ago that we find some inspiration in Sir Isaac Newton, who, when the plague came to London, he was not yet a sir. He was simply a student at Trinity College who was a young man in his early 20s. And back then, while they didn't know so much about what caused these sorts of illnesses, Trinity College during the plague sent its students back to their homes so that they could continue their studies there where it was more safe. So Newton went off to his family's manor, and this was not just a small quarantine either. He was there for over a year. And during this time, he thrived, so much so that he called it his year of wonders. So next, he acquired some prisms and he experimented with them in his bedroom, and he even went so far as to bore a hole in his shutters so that only a small beam of light could come through, and from this sprung his theories on optics. And outside of his window was that famous apple tree. While the story of Newton getting hit on the head by an apple and then him suddenly understanding the nature of gravity is largely folklore, there is an element to this that is true because his assistant wrote, "Whilst he was musing in a garden, it came into his thought that the same power of gravity which made an apple fall from the tree to the ground was not limited to a certain distance from the earth, but must extend much further than was usually thought. Why not as high as the moon?" he said to himself. At this time in London, a quarter of the population would ultimately die of the plague from 1665 to 1666. It was one of the last major outbreaks in the 400 years that the Black Death ravaged Europe. Newton returned to Cambridge in 1667 with all of his theories in hand, and within 6 months, he was made a fellow and 2 years later, a full professor. Henri Matisse and Isaac Newton are enough evidence for us to say that staying home can indeed be life-changing. And it's not the home part. It's the fact that we are asked to pause, to wait. This is biblical even. This is Lent. This is why monks do this every year. And now we have no choice. But perhaps this unexpected sabbatical that we are getting is an opportunity to do something new, to do something fun, to do something intellectually creative and wild. May those creative juices begin to flow for you as you remember that you are all children of the light and we are all waiting for something amazing to unfold. May it be so. Amen.